You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Outdoor Edge. Now, Outdoor Edge is a knife company. We all know that. They offer a complete line of fixed blade knives, replaceable blade knives, and game processing kits, right? So any blade you need to break down an animal, these guys have it. Now, the cool thing about their replaceable blades is, let's say you are in the middle of breaking down an animal and the blade goes dull. The only thing you have to do is push a button. The blade pops out, you put a new blade in, it locks in tight, and you're back to breaking down that animal. You get it cooled down, you get it back to the truck faster, and you get more meat in the long run. So if you want to find out more information about all the blades, fixed, replaceable, and game processing kits that Outdoor Edge makes, visit their website, OutdoorEdge.com, and if you want to save 30% on your purchase, enter the discount code NATION30. That's NATION30, and that's OutdoorEdge.com.
Welcome to the Missouri Woods and Water Podcast. I'm your host, Nate Thomas.
I'm Micah.
And Mike is here today. And joining us today is, if anybody's listened to our other episodes before, you all have probably heard us talk about our other brother-in-law, Russell. Russell made the trip with us today, so what's up, dude?
How's it going?
Making his guest hosting debut, I guess you'd call it. We've talked about you enough. We figured you should probably get to come on with us.
About time.
Yeah.
And so, I'm sure you'll get brought up more than what we've already talked about. Yeah. So
you like to get, you get me in trouble with all the fun stuff that
I like
get into.
I like gear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Gear junkie. You've turned me into one.
You're really nice to have around. Not in the fact that you're just a good person, but also if there's anything you need, more than likely Russell has two of them.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Give me some options.
Always willing to help out.
Just like we were talking about on the way down today. Broke my Bitzenberger jig last night, and if I really had to, Russell's got one. I could use it, but I'm probably just going to buy a new one.
Yeah, that wasn't a fun experience. I wish we could have.
Mike has got about a dozen bear shaft arrows now.
Yeah, I was really hoping to get that done so I can, start shooting, practicing a little more.
Might have to come borrow mine.
Yeah, I'm probably going to have to stop by.
That's it's kind of sucks, but I just noticed, like I said, when I was getting ready to fletch your first arrow, it wasn't working the way I wanted it, and then I went to put that set screw in, and it was totally stripped, so that kind of sucks. But
I mean, it was an older one, so it was bound. Something was bound to happen eventually.
Time to replace it. So what have y'all been doing the last week or two?
Russell?
Work.
Working,
hey.
Yeah, you. This is definitely your busy time of the year, I would think, for everything.
Definitely, for sure.
With the farm, and then, I don't know if you want to tell anybody, but you work in the HVAC business.
HVAC
so.
Technician.
Yep. Yeah. Everybody's hot right now.
Everybody's hot.
Hot and
everybody's
body.
ACs are, I'm sure, need a tune-up and getting worked on. So I can imagine that you're pretty busy.
Hey, we all did go. We did get to all have now. We have all pulled one pull of SD cards by now. So it's been that's been nice.
Yeah, and me and you. And my daughter, actually, we were able to put a stand up this last week.
Yeah, that sucked. Carrying a two-man stand on your back for you, I bet.
It was, sure, it wasn't the greatest thing ever, but it wasn't too bad either.
No, it was a fun time.
It was manageable.
Yeah, I actually pulled a set of cards last night and got home, and you came over to fletch those arrows, and we checked it. So I'm kind of happy about that pull. So far, if you all listen to our Whitetail episode, we talked about a buck that I nicknamed Sub-Zero. So far, he's not been on camera at all, so that kind of, I'm a little disappointed, but it is only July 17th, so doesn't mean he won't be back, but the previous 2 years he has been around, so
yeah,
it's not a good sign for him, but there's been other deer that are there. And
yeah, there's a few potential, and kind of with mine, didn't know this property, didn't know what to expect. Did my first card pull and was I wasn't disappointed by any means. There was definitely They're definitely there.
The biggest thing.
You know, and I didn't see nothing that could be potentially huge or nothing, but I didn't see anything really that small. So, I mean, there's potential.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it was only out there for a week and a half.
Yeah,
before we ended up putting the stand up there, so we were like, oh, let's go ahead and pull the car.
Might as well since we're right here.
Yeah, so who knows?
Yeah, and then Russ, you and I got some good, decent stuff.
Average deer.
Yeah.
Nothing too crazy.
Average deer, nothing too crazy.
But it's still early, you know.
In there, well, yeah, I mean, we were only looking at, actually, Russell, you and I, we probably pulled those cards like 2 weeks ago. I mean, we were out there putting up more hay, and so we just said, hey, let's grab them, and so, I mean, we only saw pictures probably through, like, July 4th or 5th or something. So, they're really just kind of forming into themselves at this point. So
yeah, they still got a lot to grow.
Yeah. So. Well, I guess we can get back on topic a little bit. Yep. But so, today's episode, Micah, Russell, and myself, we all travel down to Nixon, Missouri. And we get in front of Black Widow Bows, and we talk about getting into traditional bow shooting. So we had a fun time there. Toby and Miles Essick come on with us, and we talk some traditional bow shooting. So
yeah, but even before that, before we started recording, Miles gave us a tour of the whole building, showed us start to finish how to build one of those things and what all it takes to put into one of those bows. And I mean, it was really cool, really interesting. We were able to shoot some. Had a lot of fun doing that. So.
Each one of them is a work of art.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt about that.
It's awesome. They're very cool. If you haven't checked them out, definitely go on their Instagram or Facebook or whatever you can. Look them up online. They have, I mean, they are, like Russell said, pieces of art. So,
And you walk into their front room and there's hundreds of bows that you can, you know, try out to figure out what it is you like. And I know for us three, you know, wanting to get into traditional bow shooting, but not knowing anybody that really does it or anybody that even has one, that was nice. Before we recorded, we shot as many bows as, you know, we could have in front.
I mean, I know I picked up probably six or seven different ones, different weights, different, you know, lengths and everything. So
yeah, Miles gave us some time to play with those, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, being a gearhead type of guy, Russell, like you are, seeing the process, you know, the big machines and all the different forms and things I got had to be pretty cool too.
Yeah, I'd make a goal for 2021.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, start saving that money for that bow, because I think I know which one I want now, but we'll see. So anyway, hope y'all enjoy the show, and we'll talk to y'all soon.
See you.
All right, welcome to the show. Got a good one today. We're excited. Traveled down to Nixon, Missouri today to talk to Black Widow Bows. So, got Miles and Toby Essick with Black Widow with us today. What's up, guys?
Doing good. How you doing?
Doing pretty good. And we also got Micah, and we got a special guest host today, my brother-in-law, Russell. You guys have heard us talk about him on the show before, but Russell's here. So, what's up, man?
How you guys doing?
Pretty good. So, Russell, Micah, and I drove down to Nixa to meet Black Widow and shoot some bows and learn about traditional bow shooting. And that's what our episode's going to be today, is how to get into traditional bow shooting, especially if you're like us three here. We don't know anybody that shoots traditional bow, and we don't have, you know, like a pro shop 5 feet away from us to go just learn. How do you get into it? So I think that's what we're going to try to talk about today. And before we get into that, why don't Miles, you and Toby introduce yourselves and kind of give us a little background about Black Widow, and we'll go from there.
I'm Miles. I'm Toby's oldest son, and I was here. I had no choice to be here through the summers growing up. Drug me in here. But after high school, came on full time. Been here ever since, and just shooting it, but let Dad give the history.
Well, I'm kind of in the same boat, just 30 years before. Yeah. And, I started basically right out of high school, In fact, it was in August of 1990, so the next month would be 30 years. Been involved here at Black Widow, and it's been a lot of fun, I mean, to say the least. You know, especially a guy that likes to hunt, fish, and loves the outdoors, you know, what better job to do than build bows for guys to hunt with and stuff. But yeah, Black Widow has been around many, many years, since 1957, when the Wilson brothers here locally in Springfield started it. Then after that, in the early 80s, Ken Beck, which is our boss, got it. And then in 2005, Roger and John and myself were fortunate enough to Ken kind of turned the reins loose to us and sold it to us. So it's been quite a journey.
Awesome. Yeah, we've you know, we've kind of been stalking y'all on Instagram for years. I mean, I think Russell and I have been like, which one do we buy? We might just go do it eventually. Just bite the bullet and make it happen, because we don't know what to even look at.
Yeah, you guys need to. You need to.
No, we're going to. Don't worry. So that's been, you know, pretty cool. We've kind of followed you all, and I think Kent, he bought it back in 1982, correct?
I believe so, yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good year. I was born. But anyway, so yeah, it's, you know, a lot of people know about Black Widow bows, obviously. You well-respected and all that stuff in the industry. And, you know, we took a tour. Miles gave us a tour when we first got here, and gorgeous. I mean, other than the functionality, then you make them as gorgeous as they are, you know, it makes it more appealing to people that even want to shoot those. They're just so beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Somebody knows how to do some pretty stuff. Yeah. I was making a comment about, what was the handwriting, Miles?
Yeah, Roger's writing.
Yeah. I'm like, man, somebody's got some good handwriting. That's some pretty handwriting. So I have to give him my a pat on the back for me on that.
Yeah, he's done that for years and years. And well, I've been here 30 years, and he was doing it when I got here. So,
yeah.
Well, that's
he's
awesome.
He's wrote on a bunch of them.
Y'all can definitely tell the care that y'all put into each bow. I mean, they are handmade one by one, and, I mean, it shows. I mean, they are awesome. Absolutely. Yeah.
A lot of steps that go into it. I mean, you think it's a piece of wood, you know, whether it's a takedown or not.
Yeah.
A lot of steps that go into it when you're showing
a lot of things, too.
Yeah. So,
and a lot of guys, when you guys took a tour, you know, that's what we hear a lot. You know, man, we didn't realize there was that much that went into it. You know, when they actually see the steps and the just the whole process that goes into it, they're kind of amazed at what does go into it.
Yeah. One thing that was really cool that Miles showed us on the tour, if nobody has went and watched this video, go watch it, but it's on Black Widow's Instagram or whatever. But Miles showed us the bow that was ran over and dropped out of a stand and all that stuff that you guys did. He showed us that one. It still exists, and then shot some arrows out of it afterwards. So if anybody wants to know how durable they are, they should go watch that video, because you can run over it with a truck, apparently, and still shoot some arrows out of it.
That was actually a pretty fun video to make.
I bet.
It's a little cringy for me to watch, just because it's this beautiful thing getting ran over. You're just like, oh, no. It's amazing. It still does this thing.
Yeah, you do that with a compound. All you got to do is just drop it from an inch, and it's off. You got to go re-sight it in, and you got to do all that. So
yeah. So, you know, like I said, Russell actually got me into being interested in traditional bows, you know, however long ago we started to kind of fanboying over Black Widow and stuff like that. What was the draw that you saw, Russell, when you first kind of the idea came to your mind to look into traditional bows? What drew you to it?
Oh, I think it's the step back in time, you know, back to a simpler time when you don't have all these little tiny things to worry about, you know, kind of going back to basics, kind of getting away from modern world and enjoying everything that's out there.
Well, and you think about, that was the draw for me too when you started showing me them, was you think about a compound bow. You got the bow itself, which is not cheap. We all know that. I mean, especially you go buy a Hoyt or, you know, whatever. Then you got release, sights. Obviously, arrows are with both, but you got all these extra things that you have to worry about with a compound, which I'm never going to stop shooting. I'm always going to keep shooting one. But, I bought a new release this year. It was like $120 for a new release. You know, just, there's 120 out the door. Whereas I'm sure you can do something with traditional where you hook that up, but you know when we were shooting out here at in front miles, it was you know using our fingers, and that felt more natural than it would. Yeah, it almost felt weird to put a D loop on the damn thing and try to shoot it that way. But so, like I said, what we kind of thought about doing today was talking to the experts about the basics of getting into traditional bow shooting. We've got a lot of people probably out there in the same boat that Micah, myself, and Russell are in that are really interested in traditional bow shooting, but there's really, they can't, you know, they might not live near Nixa, Missouri, or they might not know anybody that shoots one, which is kind of like us. We've got a good friend, Frank, that has one and has shot it before, but, you know, he doesn't do a whole lot with it. So what are some of the basics you would say for someone who's wanting to get into traditional bow shooting?
Well, we have a lot of guys that come in that are just, you know, fixing to take the plunge and things like that. And it is hard. Some guys will drive a lot of miles just because of what you were saying. There's nowhere around them that has recurves or longbows and things that they can even pick up and shoot. And so they'll make a trip, you know, down here to Black Widow, and we'll do our best to try to figure out what bow fits them. You know, it depends on their height, their you know, their draw length and things like that. There's actually a lot that goes into it besides just, here's a recurve, take this home and go to shooting it. And a lot of people don't know that, just starting, just getting into it. And probably the number one thing that we tell them right off the bat, if they're a newbie, is don't overbow yourself.
Stay conservative with that weight.
You know, they're shooting 70 pounds with their compound and handling it just fine. You pick up 70 pounds in a recurve, it's not make it. It's a whole nother game, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And
like we said, we were out there shooting, and I shoot 70 pounds on my compound. I went out there, and I think I pulled back, I think it was a 55 or something like that, and I was like, oh, my gosh.
Shaking.
It's a different ball game. I mean, it really is, but I shot the 40, and I like the 40 the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just more comfortable.
And 40 pounds, a lot of people ask me, you know, what weight do I need? And of course, a lot of time I ask them, what's your goals here? I mean, we hunting whitetails, you know, bear, things like that, or, you know, if they're going out west or going to go to Africa or things like that, there's some variables there. But well, I really think 45 pounds is such a good all-around weight. And you know, as far as deer hunting and things around here, I mean, 45 pounds will kill anything that 70 pounds will. You know, if your shot placement, you've got a good sharp broadhead, the right arrow and stuff, it's more than efficient enough to do the job.
What kind of speeds are you kind of getting out of those, that 45 pound? Have you ever put it on the meter and been able to find that out? Or?
Yeah, I mean, we've got some records of different deals, and there's a lot of variables there.
Right,
you know?
Sure.
If you're shooting 40 pound and you've got a 26-inch draw, and you shoot 40 pounds and have got a 30-inch draw, your speed is going to increase, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, just there's more power strokes to those limbs.
Same size you would have with compounds.
Mm-hmm.
There,
right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, most people test bows, you know, with like a 9-grain arrow. And what I mean by 9-grain, 9 grains per pound.
Mm-hmm.
I like a 10-grain arrow. I like a little more kinetic energy. It doesn't fly as fast, but, you know.
A little more knockdown.
It's
some more punch.
If we were all dwelt on speed, we wouldn't be going to a traditional bow anyway, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, they're not shooting 300 feet per second. But our bows, you know, with that 9-grain arrow, you know, it's in the 180s for sure. And we have people call say, hey, man, I'm getting 200 feet per second out of my Black Widow. My first response is, you need a heavier arrow. I mean, you're not shooting the right setup, you know.
Right.
Because you can get over 200 feet per second out of them, but that's hard on the bow. You're shooting too light of an arrow. It's probably loud.
It's not necessarily a good thing.
That's exactly right.
I kind of envision, you know, that arrow that kids have that hits the target and bounces off. You know, if it's that lightweight, it just hits the deer and bounces off, and he looks at it and takes off. Yeah, so, and I mean, that's some of the most important stuff is, you know, some people that they might not even know the difference. You know, I never even really knew. I knew there was a longbow and I knew there was a recurve, but I never knew the science behind what's the difference between the two until Miles kind of explained it to us. So if you want, explain it again, which makes complete sense after you had him in front of us and said longbow, recurve. It's it makes a complete sense, but unless you, you know, have ever been educated on that, that's one of the big things right there is knowing whether you should get a longbow or a recurve. So yeah, if you want,
and a lot of that like personal preference, like I personally shoot recurves 90% of the time, and Dad, and he's a longbow guy, go to every time. A lot of it's personal preference, and a lot of it you won't know that until you've got your hands on it and you shoot it. Recurves do tend to perform just a little bit better with that curve. It's just like it sounds, that limb's curving back at the tip,
right.
And they do tend to perform a little bit better, although in our longbow design we've got them performing almost right up there with our recurves. But you can't beat the simplicity of a longbow, you know. You don't have to worry about a twisted limb or anything like that. They're super strong. Dad, he'll use his as a walking stick and put it to the test.
He's told us stories about what you do with yours.
Well, there's no doubt. They're more durable. I mean, they're just doesn't have as you hate to say, limb twist, but you can't twist a limb on a longbow. You know, and if you fail and out hunting and you fall on your recurve, you could easily twist a limb, unstring it, and possibly do damage. But yeah, I've got videos of mine. I mean, literally using it as a crutch. You know, they're just a different game.
Yeah. And really, the main difference as far as the look is, longbow, it continues to make that, you know, that, what do you call it, that half moon shape behind you, whereas a recurve will stop and start curving back to the backside of the bow, or whatever you were calling it, Miles. But, you know, somebody that doesn't know anything about traditional bows wouldn't know that difference either. And, you know, I always heard recurve, longbow, traditional, and always thought they were the same exact things, you know, back before I got into archery. So, you know, and then there's things like, do they want a takedown or do they want a solid one-piece bow? What are the main differences you guys see between those? Which, Miles, I know you explained it to us already, so you're going to get to say it twice.
Well, I'd say we sell – well, I mean, we do. We sell more takedowns than we do one-piecers, there's no doubt. The best thing about the takedown is if you're traveling a lot, you know, you're going out west or out east, north, you know, wherever you're going to go hunt – If you got a lot to pack down and just truck, you can break it down, slide it under the seat of the truck or something like that. Flying, they're a lot handier to fly with and get through customs and all that. Another good thing about them, if a guy likes a heavier bow, there's more hardware and phenolic in them that's going to give them, you know, the advantage of being a little bit heavier than a one piece, a little bit more stable. Another great thing about it is you could have one riser, and, you know, if you're just starting out, you know, you're just going to be hunting like whitetail and turkey around the house, you can get a lower set of limbs to practice with, you know, and to hunt, you know, that smaller game with. And then if you ever do decide to, you know, step up and wait or step up and, you know, go out west or something and hunt a little bit larger game, you have that option of getting a heavier set of limbs. So now you've got one bow that you've got two sets of limbs with to, you know, do whatever you want with. To where one piece, you're going to have to buy a new bow. Also, you know, if you, something crazy were to happen, you know, you were to fall, you know, drop your bow out of a tree stand, leave it on top of a truck and drive off with it, which seems to happen, you know, you damage a limb. It might be just your upper limb or just your lower limb. Instead of having to buy a whole new bow, you're just having to buy a new set of limbs, which is the great, you know, one of the greatest parts about a takedown versus a one piece.
And one thing I do want to add, and you explained it out there, I mean, you guys are, what is it, 15 weeks out, give or take, 3 months? And that's because you can't, and it, let's say somebody did order or break a limb, you have to order both limbs. You can't get one or the other, correct?
That's correct. And
because you make it all in one piece or whatnot.
And that's the most important, the way you were explaining, the most important part of that bow is the limbs, and that's what you wait on a lot of times is getting those finished.
Right.
Yeah.
And we use match set of laminations in the limb for the upper and the lower, those are going to be cut out of the same board.
Right.
You know, it's in the veneers, the tapers, the everything is – so they should be book-matched, you know, set. So, in theory, perform and you know, react with each other the same. So.
Yeah. Which makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I would guess because, I mean, if something happened, one's pulling a little harder or a little softer, I'm sure that has an effect on it.
Right, like, definitely.
Know, so.
Yeah, you don't want to just say, hey, I broke my top limb, make me a new one, and now they got...
Yeah, and we hear that pretty regular, you know.
I mean, no.
And we just can't do it.
Yeah, and those are some, I mean, like I said, I don't want to... What was that show we were talking about when I got here, Miles? The Office? Anybody
yes.
that watches that? The one time Michael says, explain it to me like I'm five. You know, I don't want the audience to feel like they don't know what they're talking about, but there is, I guarantee you there's people out there that would like to learn how to shoot a traditional bow, have no idea how to start.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, by the end of this, I'm hoping that, you know, at the very least, it just makes them pick up the phone and make a phone call or reach out and ask.
I mean, now would probably be a good time. Y'all have like a demo type thing. You want to maybe explain that and how that works?
Yeah, absolutely. We've, we try to keep around 100 bows up front there. Mm-hmm. Of different models. We have 7 different models. We have left hand, right hand, and just gives a guy a chance that not close enough to drive down here. We sent one to California yesterday.
Oh,
you
wow.
know, a guy calls and said, man, I'd really like to try this or that, and just have nowhere to get my hands on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can try to get close. What if he knows generally what weight he's looking for?
Mm-hmm.
We'll send it out there to him. Let him shoot it a few days and then send it back, and at least he's got an idea, because you know when you're buying a custom made traditional bow, there's some money spent there,
right.
You know, and you sure hate to see a guy spend the money and get it and shoot it for a month. Man, I sure wish I'd have done this.
Would've
or
done
that.
This or that. Yeah.
Yeah, because it ends up just costing you. When we send them the bow, we do charge them for the price of the bow and the shipping, but when it gets back, we either credit their account back, or we transfer it to a new bow order. So even if you don't order one, it ends up just costing you $40 the shipping to and from. But you know, and if you order a bow and you demo one, we pay the shipping on the new one, which is about $30. So if you've never shot one before and you're thinking about getting one, after it's all said and done, for a demo ends up costing you $10 to
right.
to try a bow and shoot it, you know, for a couple of weeks to make sure that you're getting what you need, you know, because there's so many options, you know. You've got grips,
mm-hmm.
we've got different grips, we've got different lengths, different models, and, you know, everyone's a little different. You know, the guys with the longer draws need a different bow than guys with shorter draws and stuff. And a lot of it depends on whether you're hunting in a ground blind, tree stands, or a lot of guys... Like, it's just 3D guys, you
right.
know, and the 3D guys, they don't care how long it is. They want a long bow, lightweight,
right.
and so we've kind of got something for everybody, and so the demo program has really been a good deal that we got started to let guys get an idea if this is the right one for them, you know.
Yeah, and I think that came through when we were looking through the bows out front is, you know, there's the... We'll get into the different models, but the PSA, the PMA, the PCH, you know, what all that means, which we'll get into, the different types of grips. You know, we started shooting different ones, and I like this. Oh, well, maybe I like this better,
mm-hmm.
you know. And at first, Russell and I kind of liked the, it was a takedown one, but it was, what was those, Miles, this?
The one? PSRs.
Okay. And then I started getting to where I liked that PCH a little better. After, you know, mm-hmm. firing some, and, you know, it's nice to learn from someone who knows how to fire a traditional bow, how you anchor, how you do different things, because if you've only shot a compound, your anchor point, I'm sitting there trying to put my thumb behind my ear or whatever, that's not working really well with a traditional. So it's, you know, it is nice if you do know somebody that shoots, you can teach you how mm-hmm. to shoot a little bit if you've never done it, because everybody starts somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I mean... I can remember the first time I shot a compound. I shot Russell's bow, and what happened, Russell?
Smoked your arm.
Yep, I lost half the skin on my left forearm. And you knew it was coming, too, didn't you?
Oh, I did. Let it happen. You got to
let it happen.
Sometime.
So, you know, it's everybody starts somewhere,
yeah.
And that's just how it is. And so the biggest thing for us is on the traditional side is, you know, learning where to get that information. And sometimes it's right in front of you. I mean, we're on your all's Instagram all the time, seeing this picture of this bow and this one. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty. Oh, I'd like that, but what the hell's PSA mean? What, you know, sometimes it's just about, you know, sending an email or making a phone call and asking, hey, what's the best setup for me? What right. should I do if I want to get into it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely the best way. And we're doing a better job, Miles is, of putting things on Instagram. And, of course, you know, he's that younger crowd and into that stuff. And but we've been making some videos of explaining the differences between grips, the difference between the models, and things like that. They're very informative. You know, if you go either they're on our website or on Instagram yeah. or Facebook and things like that, you know, it'll definitely help watching sure. those videos and stuff.
Yeah, go ahead, Micah.
Well, I was going to get into it. Now that, you know, kind of Miles and kind of getting into the ice cream, do you guys find that a lot of the younger guys are getting into this, into the traditional side? Or is it kind of, as far as age, what kind of demographic do you guys usually sell to? Do you have any idea?
I think we're seeing more younger people mm-hmm. coming into it. Now, you know, the truth is most young guys are going to get into the compounds, you know, mm-hmm. the hunting. They're watching all those hunting shows, and I did myself, you know. So we see, you know, we do see some, I mean, really young guys are just getting into bow hunting. This is the way they want to do it. But most of them are coming from a compound, and, you know, they're hitting everything they're shooting at and killing lots of deer, and they just want another challenge, you know. Yep. And just to take it to the next step, and you know, they've got lots of gadgets and stuff on the compound, and I'm not anti-compound. You shoot, you know, guy needs to shoot what he enjoys shooting. Mm-hmm. But some guys, they kind of lose that joy, you know, when the challenge is gone. And this brings back, you know, a whole new joy to them, you know. And they've shot deer, they've shot big deer, you know. Mm-hmm. And now they can take a recurve or a longbow and go out and shoot. If it's a little old doe, and I mean they're more as excited about that as they were a 150 inch deer they killed their compound. It just really, it's very rewarding, and just a lot of fun, you know, get out in the backyard, especially if you got buddies or family that you can get out and shoot with, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It can really be a lot of fun.
Oh, well, make no mistake about it, it's harder.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, and I think a lot of people, it's that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for Russell and I, I haven't mastered anything. But, you know, the compound, I love shooting it, and I always will. You can do so many things, right? You can, you know, start fletching your own arrows, start working on your own bow, learning how to do that stuff. But for me, it's always been in the back of my mind. And Russell, you might be this way. Micah, it's always been in the back of my mind, but there's something else out there that's harder. You know, and I want to try that mm-hmm. down the road, you know, and that's been the draw for us is it's there. You know, it's a bow that is not as fast, sure. It, you know, takes some more work because you're doing things more natural. You're not looking through a sight housing. You know, you're looking down the shaft of that arrow or mm-hmm. just, you know, shooting instinctually. And there's that draw to try to master yourself or master the hardest thing. I mean, mm-hmm. I know there's Adelals and stuff like that after or this, you never know. But, you know, I think that's what probably draws some guys. And there's probably some younger guys out there that want to get into it that just might not have, you know, Nixon, of Missouri in their backyard. Some do.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
So we're excited to kind of get some of that information to those folks.
What do you think the effective range for a guy that's shooting 70, 80 yards with his compound, what would you say he's going to bring that back to 20 or 30 to be a long-range shot?
30 yards is a long-range shot.
Long ways?
You know, it really – and there's guys that can shoot really, really good at 30 yards. Mm-hmm. But, you know, realistically, 20 yards and in, I think, is probably most people's effective range. It is mine. 30 yards, I don't think I've ever shot 30 yards at a deer. In fact, I don't guess I've shot 30 yards at anything that I can remember. In fact, I had 2 years ago went to Alaska. First time I'd been there on a moose hunt and had a 60-inch bull at 40 yards. broadside for probably a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing between me and him but air. With a compound, that should be
game over.
At a big target like that, you know, 99 out of 100 times, you've scored.
Right.
I didn't shoot. And I practiced at 30 and 40. I knew there was going to be some opportunities, you know, at some long-range stuff and done some shooting. And there was days at 40 yards I felt pretty confident, you know. And then I might go out there the next day and literally miss a foot or so, you know, at 40 yards. It's a long shot when you're shooting instinctive, you know.
Right.
I've often thought about that. Man, should I have taken that? Should I? You know, it was a bull of a lifetime. It was a nice.
The one that got away.
It was a really nice bull, you know. But to be honest, you know, I'm just not comfortable at that range. Even at a target that big, you know, that's a big kill zone. But at 40 yards, you know, when it's all said and done, I've done the right thing by not taking that shot.
Maybe you should have taken off just running straight at him.
Yeah.
Get to 20 yards and then let it fly.
Well, then you got to worry about that thing running back.
They get
mean.
I end up killing a bull at literally 5 feet. It was a smaller bull.
What a rush that's got to be, though.
Oh, it really was. You know, I mean, I thought he was going to literally walk right over me. He didn't see me till the last minute. And the last minute, he went to bolt off, and I was able to swing and shoot. But it's definitely. To get back to your question, 20 yards and in is this is a hunt close range weapon, and that's part of the fun of it.
Yep. Right. I mean, you know, if you do it right, it should make you a better hunter.
Yeah.
I mean, if you mm-hmm. keep up, I mean, yeah, shooting, that's one part of it, but you also got to be able to put yourself in a position to make a 20 yard shot.
That's right.
A lot of people can get within 50 yards of a deer. Yeah. Usually you don't have to be that good. But if you can get within 20, I mean, you're doing something. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
And that's part of that that draw, I think, is, you know, how close can I get?
The more exciting,
you know.
Yeah.
Nothing against any types of hunting, by the way. Yeah. We're a judgment-free show. I could give a shit less how you choose to hunt, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's however you want to hunt is personal to you. But when I first started hunting, it was rifle hunting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you could shoot a deer at up to certain amounts of yards, right? And you know, then you learn how to shoot this bow and you're like, well, I've got to be within 40 yards of this animal probably.
So and now you got that little back timber that you've never been able to get into and hunt. Well, here's your perfect weapon of choice to utilize that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just a little bit harder now, you know. You that compound, you got to get within, you know, certain amount of yards. Some people take 60 yard shots, some won't, but whatever, right? Somewhere around 50 yards close to that animal. Now you move to a traditional setup where it's, hey, 5 feet. That would be awesome. My gosh. I mean, you don't have to be that close, but you can be right there. And I mean, who won?
Yeah.
You won at that point. You know, that animal had no idea you were there until the second it took mm-hmm. an arrow. And that's pretty cool.
It's just like turkey hunting. I mean, one of the fun things about turkey hunting is they're a lot of times right on top of you. I mean, mm-hmm. How much fun would turkey hunting be if you stood the other end of the field and shot one at 150 yards, right. You know? You've got them in close and stuff, and it just makes it fun.
Yeah.
More one-on-one, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to get back to Russell's question about the yardage, that's a good kind of time to pivot to, you know, how you're aiming at with a longbow or a traditional bow compared to a compound. Obviously, most people that shoot a compound realize you're looking through a peep and then your sight housing and you're putting your pin on the animal. There's different ways to shoot traditional. Miles, you kind of listed a few of them. Why don't you kind of go through, you know, how the different ways people can shoot. There's instinctual, like you just mentioned, Toby. You know, what do those mean and how do people utilize them and even choose which way they should use or should try? How do they do that?
Oh, man, there's a ton of different ways. There's instinctive. We were talking about that the other day. There's instinctive. You know, your gap point on. There's face walking, string walking. What else is there?
Oh, I mean, there's
stone throwing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, those are your main ones.
I mean, that people use. But, I mean, I grew up shooting instinctive till really this last year. We went to Rod Jenkins' class, and he talked more about kind of the point on and stuff, and start trying it. And there's no doubt that at that point on range, it's an effective way of shooting. There's no doubt. Then there's as you're
and that's
closer,
putting the point of the arrow on the target, or
yeah,
is
that's,
that what
yeah,
we're using
that's,
as your sight?
Yeah, that's aiming, with that point of that arrow. But I mean, at a closer range, you almost have no choice but just grip and rip. And then, there's people, face walking, they've got different points on their face that they can anchor with, so they're still using their point on that animal, but they're raising the back or lowering the back of that arrow by, anchoring at a different spot in their face. And then there's the string walking, which is the same thing, although you anchor the same place, but you're changing where you put your fingers on the string, either further down, yeah, down from the arrow, or up to the arrow.
Much and, like you'd be using the pins on your compound sight.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, just like
it. Walking up your face to your 30, 40 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But as far as a way of deciding which one works best for you is honestly just trying it. I didn't start shooting the point on until after Rod's class, and I've been shooting it ever since, and it's helped me a lot, at those certain ranges. And I think at a longer range, it's a better way to shoot than instinctive. You've got something more to go on, right. And it's made me a little bit more confident too at those longer ranges.
And what's nice about the traditional is if you wanted to change your setup on a compound, you got to change your sights or you got to change your whatever. With this, you just pretty much just whatever feels best. You don't got to buy an extra piece or exchange something else to change it up. I mean,
switch it around within each arrow.
Right. Yeah. You can. So that's awesome.
Shooting a traditional bow, you can literally make it as simple or as complicated as you want to, really.
You can dive too deep.
Because a lot of, just picking it up and pulling it back, instinctively looking at your target, and basically your bow hand is just guiding everything and turning it loose and just watching that. And a lot of times, as soon as you turn it loose, that's a good shot, And, but, there's other guys that, well, just like that moose at 40 yards, if a guy knows his point on and knows that moose is 40 yards, it's definitely going to up your chances. I mean, there's a Aaron Snyder. Mm-hmm. He shoots point on. He can actually shoot. He'll shoot better at 40 yards than he will at 20 yards.
I watched him do that the other day with a little tiny target, like 42 yards or something.
Right, and he knows his point on, and he's mastered it, and he can really shoot at long ranges really good.
Mm-hmm.
But other guys just, especially the older generation, most of the newer guys, Miles' age and stuff, they're into that, mm-hmm. Let's get that point on, let's figure. But a lot of the older guys, the old traditional guys that's done it their whole life, they just like the simplicity of looking at their target, drawing it back, and turning it loose. It's there's room there for everybody. Like I said, you can make it just as simple as you want to, or you want to complicate it, you can do it. Yeah,
you can do that with anything. Yeah, that's for sure.
The main point for people to get is if you want to get into traditional shooting, just do it. I mean, it seems simple, but there's a lot of people out there that, Russell, how long have you and I been sitting here pussyfooting around getting a traditional bow?
Oh, probably at least 2 years.
18 months, 2 years. I don't know what to do. I don't know it all. Mm-hmm. Well, you're never going to. You just jump in, you try it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And, I think that's the point people should get is, we've talked about the way you can shoot and different. We're going to talk about your different models here in a sec, but it don't really matter. Just do it.
Try it out.
Make a phone call, ask some questions, figure out what works for you. Mm-hmm. The program you guys have to.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, I've never heard of, somebody
loaning a bow out.
I mean, if you're serious about buying one, why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah.
It's the price of the bow. You're already going to pay it anyway. Yeah. So get it sent to you. Say, yeah, I like this one. Nah, I didn't like that so much.
Mm-hmm.
And send it back and say, no.
We've had guys do that. They'll get it and be like, man, I love this bow you sent me. And they're like, I'm just going to keep it. And like, okay.
That worked out.
You paid for it, so.
And I'm sure you've had other guys say, go through three or four of them.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
way cheaper than trying to track down somebody with the bow to go shoot, your gas, your time, you know, get it right to your door.
Yeah, and it's way cheaper than spending the money and not getting what you really need.
Right.
And because, you know, say if you bought a bow from us, you know, the average price on our bow, probably $1,200 on average, and you buy that and it's not what you need, you know, you're not going to get that back out of it. You
right.
know, so you've spent... You could really save yourself some money with that, getting a demo and making sure it's the one you want.
Yeah, and that's wouldn't it be nice to take a compound home for 2 weeks?
Yeah, figure it out. If it like
okay, I don't like that so much. I'd like to try this one, you know. But I think that's cool. One thing I did want to talk about is some of your guys' different models. We learned a lot more by physically seeing them. Like, okay. Here's the PMA series, blah, 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 and we'll get into them. I guess let's talk about your different models and the differences between them. Once you explain them to me and I'm sitting there looking at it, it made 100% sense. But before I always was, you know, what's the difference between PMA and PSA and PCH? I listened to a podcast you guys were on the way down here. I can't remember which one, where – the PMA actually stands for Precision Maple Anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that sort of stuff. People know that. It makes more sense sometimes. So let's just start with whatever model you want and kind of talk about each one a little bit.
Just kind of a breakdown of
yeah,
it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Well, like I said, the PMA, that's the original takedown bow that Ken Beck came out with in the 80s. In fact, I believe it'd been... Our 25th anniversary would have been,
82,
yeah.
Okay,
The Crown Jewel, wasn't it?
No, it was the Maple Anniversary. It was the Maple Anniversary. Yeah. And so Ken came out with that, and in fact, that bow kind of resurrected Black Widow. You know, Black Widow was kind of in the slumps, the compounds came out and stuff. So Ken came out with the Maple Anniversary, the MA. And then in the 90s, we wanted to come out with something different. We shortened that riser down 2 inches. So now it's a 16-inch riser, and it's called the PSA. And we basically it was a short anniversary, you know. And it mm-hmm. wasn't an anniversary year, but it was a knockoff from the Maple Anniversary.
It was just change in the Maple Anniversary a little bit. Just
exactly.
A little bit shorter.
That's right. Yeah. We shortened the riser by 2 inches. The limbs are still the same, you know. Glued on the same form, in fact.
Pretty much just lightened it up a little bit. Is that kind of mm-hmm. what that did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. And then we went in 2010 with the PCH, the Precision Compact Hunter. We shortened the riser 2 more inches, so it's actually 4 inches shorter than the old Maple Anniversary. But still... The difference in those models is still allows you, if you want a shorter bow, you like hunting in a blind or things like that, it allows you to go with a shorter bow and still have a good long working limb because we've taken the length out of the riser.
And not
so a 60-inch bow, you can get a 60-inch bow in any three of those models, the PMA, mm-hmm. PSA, or PCH. But the 60-inch in that PCH with a 14-inch riser, it's got 4 more inches of working limb than the PMA does mm-hmm. at that, you know, so it's still gives you a good smooth draw and things like that. Those are the three takedown models. We've got, you know, our longbow, of course, and the PSR, which is a short precision short recurve. It is a longbow grip. Mm-hmm. It's the exact same grip.
That's
and
the
riser.
First one we were shooting, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah. So exact same riser as our longbow. It's got recurve limbs on it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really neat little rig. And then the 3 one-piece bows that we make. The PTF, was basically just needing a name for that, precision target and field. We also have the PA. It was an anniversary when we came out with the PA, the one piece. That was our 50th anniversary bow. And then the KB, we shortened the riser down 2 inches. And the KB, we named that after Ken Beck. He really likes that that bow, the shorter riser and things like that, shorter sight window. And that's our newest one-piece bow. But all of them are, as far as the limb design, are the same. We've basically just kind of altered stuff to where you can get it in a little shorter length but still have a good long working
limb. Yeah, a little more usable for whatever reason you might have.
That's
you
know, right.
Like a guy like me, by the end of the time we were shooting, I kind of like that PCH because, well, I'm short. So there's one thing, you know, if I'm walking through the mountains in Colorado with it, mm-hmm. it's not as big of a footprint. And there's sometimes I might be in a blind, and that makes sense that it's just a little bit shorter. You know, that 4 inches could matter.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, same thing with these longbow ones or the one-piece ones where the KB might be a little more adaptable for someone compared to someone else. I mean.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's got a different preference, you know. Of what bow works with them. Like Miles said earlier, I'm a longbow guy. I don't know. It just fits me. It feels good to me. It's lightweight. I just enjoy it, you know. Whereas Miles, he's a recurve guy, and he makes his heavier than normal, adds extra glass and things like that to make it even heavier than what it is, you know. So everybody's different. So we try to accommodate everybody, you know, as far as grips and links and all that stuff. So
yeah, and that's just a quick overview. I mean, they've got their website, and of course I'm looking at a catalog, I guess you'd call it.
Mm-hmm.
Guys' 2020 catalog, and just kind of going through them. I think it's nice for everybody to hear those things, right? I mean, I'm sure it says it, but it's cool to know, okay, this PMA compared to the PCH mm-hmm. is going to be about 4 inch riser yeah. difference.
And we just put a video out last week.
Yeah, we took a bunch of them like 2 weeks ago, and I've been trying to release them throughout the weeks of all that. You know, we did one with our grips. We did one comparing bow lengths. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, if you go to our Instagram, you know, I've got a video out that Miles made basically explaining just what I just did, you know, as mm-hmm. far as the links and things like that.
Grips is a whole nother rabbit hole we could go
into,
man. Yeah, we'll
probably talk about that forever. To sum it up, you pretty much just got to try it out and figure out what works for it.
You know, that's the best, you know.
Yeah. So. What I want to know, Toby, is why are you so mean to your bows?
Puts them to the test.
You know, they say people want to know how durable and stuff they are.
Miles said you'll use it as a walking stick and whatever else. Yeah. You know, you get off the horse, you might just toss it in the bush. Yeah.
That was on was hunting mountain lion last year, and it was steep and a lot of snow, and I wasn't going to make it up the hill without it. I had
it. It was either
it make serves it up two the hill purposes. You can shoot stuff, you can walk with it. It's great.
Yeah, I had to try to stab it inside the hill to make my way up there. I was stuck.
It's kind of fun testing them, though. Like, it was a couple months ago, we stuck those two bows between the tables, and I'd stand on them and just stand and bounce on them.
Didn't hurt them at all, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
I thought it was pretty cool, the weight difference in some of them. They're not – none of them are heavy compared to, like, a compound.
Compared to my compound bow, they're a feather.
They're still a feather. But even the difference between, like, this PL series and the, like, the PMA –
yeah,
you know, PL feels like a
nothing there.
You know, it's which is really nice, especially if maybe you're going out in some deep timber, mm-hmm. some dark timber out west or something. Or
packing into public land, you know, you don't want to carry a bow a mile, or whatever. You can pick something up this light and.
Well, and the nice part with this PL series is it's a takedown, and Miles showed us how you just pop them out, and you can literally put the damn thing in your pack and get to where you need to go if you don't want to have the bow in your hand mm-hmm. or something on the way out there.
Yeah, this bow here in this, I had it in a pack, broke down just in a pack, and dogs treed, you know, and
took it out.
Yeah, we knew they were treed. We took it out of the pack, strung it, and threw the quiver on it, and away we went.
Do y'all make your own strings, or do y'all have somebody you get your strings from?
We've got a guy. We've got them. This machine, or mm-hmm. I say the machine, it's just a big jig, you know, that we make it and have a guy that does them for us. Yeah, okay. And Miles also makes strings here as well.
Are they the same basic type of string material as a what?
There's a ton of different materials out there that you can get strings built out of, and each one's going to have, you know, its own pros and cons. The ones we sell are Fast Flight. They're Dyna 97, and they're 14 strands, and you can. you know, if you rebuild a string, you can add or take away as many strands as you mm-hmm. want, you know, and that's gonna affect your performance. And there's different materials, like there's X99, Dyna97, B50. I can't even think to name them all. There's so many of them, but right. that's what we have is a fast flight 14 strand.
Yeah. Now, some of those bows sitting out there, you've got some string stops on the limbs. Is that what they're called?
Well, we call them stick tamers. What I like them, I put them on all my bows as soon as I get them. And what I like them mainly for is like a brush button. You know, you're walking, especially through the Missouri woods, you know, you walk into your tree stand, keep something from sliding up between your limb and your string, you know, pulling your bow out of your hand.
Okay.
And anything you put on the limbs, you know, it's going to dampen it just a little bit. Them didn't dampen it too much, which I liked. You know, there I didn't really see any effect after putting them on, but they act as a really good brush button.
Yeah,
well, that's basically what they're for. Keep
keep
little sticks and stuff from running between your limb and string, and possibly unstringing it.
Well, I mean that can be a problem with a traditional bow, same as it can be a compound. I mean, our buddy mm-hmm. Pat in the middle of deer season last year was walking to a stand and nicked his string on something, and it put a slight, you know, cut in it, and he had to go get it taken care of in the middle of the season.
So you're down waiting on string.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume that these strings are probably a little cheaper than a compounds. Or
they are, and we recommend.
So probably carry one or two in your pocket, and you got backup.
When I'm out west, you know, and hunting, I've always got one in my pack mm-hmm. at all times. You know, and it's all stretched in. It's ready to go. And, I can, less than a minute, I can take the old one off, stick that one on, and go right on.
And there's something right there you can't do with a compound.
No.
You can't have an extra set of cables. I guess you could. You could have the serving everything at your house or at the back at camp or something. But man, it's going to be a chore to get that thing shooting where you had it before.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And like our strings are $21, you know, so... Yeah, it's a good idea to have an extra one.
Oh. Yeah. Cool. Well, I really appreciate y'all coming on. I mean, this is, like I said, it was just about getting, how do you get that person that doesn't know how to take that leap to take that leap? So mm-hmm. I think the big thing is you just do it. You know, eventually.
Give you guys a call.
Yeah. So, and we'll link y'all, like we'll tag you on your Instagram page. You probably have way more followers than we do, but, you know, with the show release, we will. And. You know, you guys got these cool
catalogs.
Why do I have a hard time knowing what that's called? That people can probably ask for.
Oh, yeah.
And get those accessories in there.
All you got to do is call us, and we'll send you guys, you know, we'll send them right out. And that's got all our information, all the bow information to all the specs that we've talked about, and it gets deeper into that, all our accessories. It's basically got everything you need to know in it.
Yeah.
No, I had one thing. You know, this whole thing's about people getting into it, you know. This day and generation's got a little more advanced. There's a lot of videos out there, you know, that show you how to shoot, you know, and kind of the basics, you know. We sell all them as well. You know, the Masters of the Bear Bow comes to mind. It's I think there's five videos now, Masters of Bear Bow, and it just starts out, the first one, you know, just different guys showing, this is my style, it works for me, and this is how I do it, you know. Mm-hmm. They're very informative, you know, and then it goes all the way to Rod Jenkins, that he's really well-known, you know, traditional archer and stuff. So there's a lot of information out there, you know, that a guy can look up, you know, before even getting a bow, that it's just good knowledge, you know.
The information's there more than ever before for us to find stuff. But, you know, for whatever reason, I'm myself, Russell, Mike, we've never had a problem, you know, trying something, but it's like, this is always, I've always been scared to dip my toe in the water. I don't know, I'm not smart enough yet or whatever. And so I think that's the big thing people need to get through is just do it.
Yeah.
It's just like anything else. If you remember the first time you shot a compound bow, or the first time you shot a BB gun when you were a kid, or the first time you put on a pair of roller skates, you know, you probably sucked at it. Sure. And Miles probably was laughing inside when he was watching us shoot those bows out front. And
You know, it was fun.
But I mean, by the third or fourth shot, you're like, yeah. This is cool.
You know, it is. Yeah. It really is, yeah.
Yeah, so, well, we appreciate you all letting us come down. And
We appreciate you coming down.
Take
we
a really cool tour and shooting some stuff. And we'll release this and hope people kind of get the itch to really take that step.
Yeah.
Especially if they're in an area that there is not a black widow in their backyard.
Yeah, don't hesitate, you know? Don't hesitate to call us. You know, we're more than happy to visit and you know, answer any questions or anything like that. So don't ever hesitate to give us a call.
What's your why don't you give them your phone number while we're on here?
You bet. 417-725-3113.
There you go. Give them a call.
Or email us at info@blackwidowbows.com. And there's no we've heard every question there is, so don't feel like it's a dumb question.
Did you hear any new stupid ones today, Miles? I'm just curious.
Not yet today. I haven't checked it up.
Well, I'm talking about from us.
No, and even with the calling, you know, social media too. I'm on that Instagram all the time. You know, shoot a message, and we get a bunch on Facebook and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
Miles answers a lot of messages on Instagram and stuff.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that's the new email.
It is. Yeah.
It really is. That's through my work email and answering the phone here and everything. I get more questions and talk to more people on Instagram than I do on anything.
Yeah, I would see. So no, I really thank you guys for coming on. Thanks to Miles Essick and Toby Essick. Thanks to Russell Ryan on his inaugural guest hosting debut.
Yeah.
You did great, man. You'll probably hear him more. So unless you guys got anything else.
No, we're good. We'll appreciate it. Yeah. We appreciate
it. Fun.
All right. There's the show. Hope everybody had a good time. We learned a lot.
It was very informative, for sure.
Full day of learning.
It was. It was a good experience. Had a good drive down there. Good drive back. Got to shoot some bows, got to meet some cool people. It was a good time.
Yeah. Got to eat at, what? I mean, there's probably some other places down there that deserve cred, but every time we go down south, we got to hit Lambert's. So after we recorded with them, we hit Lambert's, so that
definitely
was fun.
The ham steak.
Yep, got the ham steak there.
Yeah.
I went with chicken wings. It was really good.
I got the hot beef sandwich, like normal. I need to try something different next time.
Yeah, you are one of those people that if you found something you like, you stick with that.
Yep.
I haven't been to Lambert since I was probably 9 or 10. Been a long time.
Right.
So.
We're there quite a bit just because we used to camp, you know, when we had the fifth wheel, and every time we went down there, that's where the kids and her wanted to go, so we ate there.
But yeah, it was fun. Good time. And you'll definitely leave full. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks to Toby and Miles Essick with Black Widow Bows for coming on with us today. Thanks to Russell for hanging out with us today and guest hosting.
It was fun.
You think you got a voice for radio?
I don't know. Maybe a face.
We all have one of those, man. So anyway, tune in for some upcoming shows. We've got quite a bit coming down the pipe right now as summer is kind of horrible and hot and starting to get closer and closer to deer season and all that. So
yeah.
Tune in.
See
y'all later.
See ya.